the sacrifice is in attendance and the fireplace has been prepared. So now we're going to do a little preparatory purification ceremony. Sushil, you have a cup there. So we're going to put water in our hands and sip it three times, and then we're going to chant some mantras responsibly. So when we chant the mantra, everybody can do that along with us. We'll have to do the whole thing three times. So make a little cup of your right hand, and in your left hand, you take this spoon, and you just put three drops of water, three spoonfuls of water, in the palm of your hand, like that. And then you sip it. And then take another spoonful and just wash your hand. Okay, and now you say after me. Everybody can say it after me.
Om
Apavitra
Apavitra
Pavitrova
Pavitrova
Sarvavastam Jato Piva
Jato Piva
Ya Smare
Kundari
Paksham three drops, one, two, three, in the palm of the right hand, and you sip that water. And then another spoonful, wash your hand. And again we chant,
Om
Apavitra
Pavitrova
Sarvavastam
Jato
Piva or whatever circumstances of life that one may find oneself in, if you can only remember the Lotus Eye Lord, then you are clean inside and out. This is about the purifying power of always remembering Krishna. So now I want to speak just a little bit about what's happening here at this ceremony and give some directions to our new initiate. This is Diksha, or initiation into the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Before people actually take Diksha, they already have shown by some term of time that they are regularly chanting Hare Krishna and following the regulative principles and so on. So in one sense, they've already been doing this, but so you wonder about the word initiation, because it means to begin. But here is actually, this is a formal acceptance and making of vows. Whenever we take this solemn vows we do before the sacrificial fire, before the deities, before the assembled devotees. And this vow means that one has committed oneself to the process of cultivating the holy name. Anyone can chant Hare Krishna. We invite everybody to chant, and that's beneficial for everybody. But if one wants to become serious about spiritual advancement, then that requires a commitment and giving the cultivation of Krishna consciousness a priority in one's life. And so that commitment is made at this time with the taking of vows. We chant 16 rounds a day of the Hare Krishna mantra and the beads, and to follow the four regulative principles. So the disciple, he makes this vow that he will follow this. And there's also a promise on my side as the initiating spiritual master that I will take responsibility for this person's spiritual life, and it is my duty, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas and Krishna, to bring this person back to God. So we are making a commitment here to each other, and you are all witness to this act of this commitment. So what does it mean when we talk about cultivating the holy name? Because there is a process. In the beginning, anybody can chant. But then, when one wants to become very serious about spiritual life, then we have to start being careful. Especially, we have to be careful to chant the holy name while trying to avoid offenses. The holy name itself is none different from Krishna. It is said, the Abhinatva Nama Namana. There is no difference between the sound of Krishna and the person Krishna. That means that actually when we say Krishna's name, or Govinda, or Vasudeva, or so many names, we should actually have the full and direct experience of Krishna. Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, is that we all should be there before us, because Krishna and Krishna's name are the same. So, but I'm saying Hare Krishna, and that's not happening. But what does it mean to say that Krishna and Krishna's name are the same? Well, yes, they are the same, but actually the pure name, to actually say the pure name, and hear the pure name, I require some qualification. Because Krishna's name, being none different from Krishna, is also fully spiritual. The Hare Krishna mantra actually exists eternally in the spiritual platform. It's not a material sound. And so therefore, it cannot be perceived by our material senses. This is also stated, Atasi Krishna Nam Adi Nabhavet Braya India. That Krishna's name and so on cannot be perceived or grasped by our senses. Because our senses are here materially contaminated senses. And because our senses are materially contaminated, they can't perceive spirit. But this name is spiritual. Just as Krishna's name and his form and his qualities and his pastime, they're all spiritual. Well, what to do? Yeah? Well, the text continues, Sevan muke hi jiva do swaya deva swarachataha. Nevertheless, by engaging those senses in Krishna's service, they regain their power. Because originally, all our senses are spiritual. We are spiritual persons. And persons mean we are equipped with spiritual senses. And in our spiritual position, we have the capacity to sing Krishna's name. We have the eyes to see Krishna's form. We have the ears to hear Krishna's flute. All those things we have. But we have come into the material world, and now those spiritual senses have been put into another purpose, to enjoy ourselves separately from Krishna. And so for our spiritual forms manifest materially, and our senses are being used for sense gratification, and in that condition, Krishna disappears. We are disabled. Our spiritual senses are disabled. So that's why we can say Hare Krishna, and yet we do not see Krishna. We may not experience anything at all. I've heard people complain, I chanted Hare Krishna for so many years and nothing happened. There must be something wrong. Well, the point is that in order to actually have the powers of the holy name manifest, we have to make an endeavor. And that endeavor is, we have to try to become free from offenses against the holy name. Because of offenses, we cannot perceive the pure name. So there's three platforms or stages of chanting. One is called offensive, where I'm committing offenses, I'm not doing anything about it. That kind of name that's manifest is called nam aparad. It's a name that's chanted when one is offensive. And the pure stage of chanting, then what's manifest is called shuddha nam, the pure name. And then there's the intermediate stage, where offenses are there, but we're trying to become free from offenses. This is called the clearing stage of chanting. And when we chant on the clearing stage, although the pure name is not manifest, the dawning light of the name is manifest. This, like in the morning, the sun is below the horizon, so you cannot see the sun. It's like we cannot perceive the holy name. But still the sun's light is in the sky. That dawning light of the holy name is spiritually powerful. It's called Namabhasa. And Haridas Thakur, the Acharya chanting the holy name, said mere Namabhasa destroys all sinful reactions and actually gives the result of mukti, of liberation. And then the pure name gives something much higher than mukti, Krishna Prema. So if we are chanting the holy name, and we are trying to give up offenses, although our chanting is not pure, still it's almost pure. And that Namabhasa will be manifest, and gradually all the dirty things in the heart, all the unwanted things will go away. It's like just in the morning, the sky begins to get light, and then brighter and brighter and brighter, and then the sun appears. That will be our experience with chanting of the holy names, if we follow the process. And that process is very simple, to say that we have to chant the holy name while trying to give up offenses. So let me just go down this list. There's, from the Padma Purana, we have this list, the 10 offenses against the holy name. The first one is called Saruminda. That is to say, to blaspheme the devotees who dedicated their lives propagating the holy name of the Lord. Those who are spreading and propagating the name of Krishna, to be merciful to all souls, those people are very dear to the holy name, and if we unnecessarily criticize or find fault with devotees, then the name is offended. And so we have to try very hard not to blaspheme or find fault with devotees. Another offense is to think that the name of devatas, the demigods, like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, are equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the source of everything. Lord Shiva comes from Vishnu. Lord Brahma comes from Vishnu. They are servants. They are very great personalities. We shouldn't. They're also devotees. But they are not on the same level. And their names are not on the same level as Vishnu. Because sometimes you say, well, it doesn't matter whose name you chant. That's not the case. Once you chant one of the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's also an offense to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is sent to us by the Lord to help us get free from bondage in this material world. He's the Lord's agent and the Lord's representative, and as such, the disciple must consider the spiritual master just like God. Because, not because he is God, but because he's God's representative. And so whatever the directions given by the spiritual master are the directions given to us by the Lord. So if we disobey the order of the spiritual master, that's also an offense against the holy name. To blaspheme Vedic literature, or literature in pursuance of the Vedic tradition. The Vedic literature is not produced by the speculation or imaginations of people of this world. It is not that the world produced the Vedas, it's the Vedas produced the world. They came first. And so we should understand what the Vedas are and what their status is. They're not like human-produced knowledge. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as imagination. Now, so many wonderful things were said about the holy name and its results, and you can say, oh, these people must be fantasizing. To give some interpretation of the holy name of the Lord. Because when you see the holy name actually has power, then sometimes people make other speculations. The reason the holy name is effective is that it is Krishna. And so spiritual power is full with all spiritual power. But sometimes see that the devotees who are chanting, they become happy and they say, I've heard, well, it must increase the production of endorphins. Or it must do something about your right brain or left brain. Or there's so many theories sometimes people offer. It's also the things. To commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. The holy name actually can rid us of all sinful reactions. And if I slyly try to take advantage of this and say, oh, well, it won't matter so much if I commit some sin, because I always chant Hare Krishna, and it will go away. This means I am now using the holy name in my sinister purposes. So don't think that that ever we'll be able, if we're doing like this, that the holy name will be able to deliver us. Because we are committing this offense. To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, like they're karma kanda activities, that people perform so many ritualistic activities looking for some material benefit. This is not, the holy name is not like that. It is not a material activity, it's on the spiritual platform. And what it gives is love of God. It's also considered an offense to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. I hope there are no faithless people in the room, because that may take that risk of committing that offense. Sometimes we do that when we preach Krishna consciousness. But if we see that somebody is antagonistic and hostile, very faithless, then we should not discuss these things with them. Not to have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name, and to maintain material attachments even after understanding some of the instructions in this matter. So here we should, to be successful with the holy name, we should have this conviction that if I attain the holy name, that is a pure chanting of the holy name, full Krishna consciousness, automatically everything else will be accomplished. I will not be missing or missing out or deprived in any sphere. That's what we mean by faith. Because really you have to make this your main thing. And you cannot think, oh, well, maybe something will be missing out. So that's called maintaining a material desire. You notice it is not an offense against the holy name to have material desires. That's an impurity we want to get rid of, but it is not an offense against the holy name. But the offense is that even though I've heard about the holy name and what it is, still I'm maintaining the material desire. I have some non-negotiable material desire. Krishna, we pray like this: please give me pure devotional service, but not yet. Please make me free from sexual desire, but after 10 years. I want to be Krishna conscious, but also I want to be rich. So these things, this idea of maintaining, so that shows that we don't have full faith in the holy name. We think maybe I'll be unsatisfied. So these are the offenses. And then finally, it's an offense to be inattentive while chanting. And in one sense, this last one, the inattentiveness, is the seed ground, the seedbed from which all of the other offenses spring. It's just not thinking about Krishna. That's our problem in the material world. It says in the Quran that if 1 second or 1 millisecond goes by in which one is not remembering the Lord, that is the greatest disaster, the greatest calamity, the biggest illusion, and the biggest anomaly. But we should actually always be thinking of Krishna. And all these offenses are just different ways of not thinking, of not remembering the Lord. So, especially because we are practicing the chanting of the holy name, we have a particular practice that's called japa. In a few minutes, I'll be giving Sushil his japa beads that I've already chanted on. But here are my japa beads. And we all know what these look like. There's a string of 108 beads. And therefore this particular exercise of meditating by chanting on the name of the Lord according to a scheduled number. This was taught by Mahaprabhu, to chant in this way. You go around one time, that's one round, and you take a vow, 16 rounds. So what this means now, I should not be inattentive. So I have to fix my mind on the holy name. I have to fix my attention on the lotus feet of the holy name. And I have to chant my japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, so just Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, thinking of Krishna. But we find out that I get a little ways in and suddenly my mind wants to wander. It wants to be inattentive. My misfortune is that somehow or other, here I have the holy name and still I want to think about something else. This is my condition in this world. So I should regret this. And as soon as I see that my consciousness that my mind is wandering, I bring it back again to the lotus feet of the holy name. So that is how we should chant in the beginning stages. If we just chant Hare Krishna 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 Hare Rama, Hare Krishna Krishna Rama, that will not be effective. You can go on chanting like that for 300 years and you will not see much of a result. We have to pay the holy name the courtesy of our attention. We're inviting Krishna. It's just like in our house, we invite some important person has agreed to come, the boss of our company, our spiritual master, somebody, they're doing us the courtesy of coming to our house. They come at the appointed time and we're not there to receive them. I'm out in the backyard weeding the garden. Nobody's there. That's rude. You have to be there, greet them nicely, welcome them with attention. So if we're inviting the holy name and we're not there, then that's rude. So if we chant inattentively like this, without any effort, with just allowing our minds to wander and reassociate, and somebody said to me, when I chant, I get so many good ideas. this is not effective. But if we chant on the clearing stage, then that means to say, whenever our mind wanders, we bring it back. Then we are actually making advancement. Of course, on the pure stage, then it's hard to bring our mind to anything else. It will just stay glued to Krishna all the time. So this an attentiveness while chanting, we have to, especially while chanting japa. And if we take care of that offense, if we're dealing with that offense, then it'll be possible for us to actually be effective in clearing up all the other offenses. So this is a very important thing to notice about this, the process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. It is yoga. Krishna explains in the 10th chapter, in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the yoga process means you fix your mind on the Supreme, your mind wanders away. And he says you have to bring it back. He said we should make our attention like a candle like a candle flame in a windless place. Remember, most of you know this. And then what does Arjuna say? That's not possible. He has an objection. He says the mind is like a hurricane. You can't control it. It can't be done. And Krishna says, I understand the problem about the mind. I understand that the mind is restless and difficult to control. He says, but it can be done. And he says it requires two things, abhyasa and vairagya. Vairagya means detachment. If we are doing activities that agitate our mind, increase the turbulence, then it's going to be very difficult. So if you really want to cultivate the holy name, for example, watching television is not recommended. Especially Fox Channel. Any network television. If you have some nice Krishna videos, that's another thing. It makes the mind agitated. There's so many things in this world. So we should vairagya, detachment. And as we become detached from material activities, the mind becomes more peaceful. That helps. And the other thing is abhyasa. That means practice. Practice means that you repeat it every day. That's our vow, 16 rounds a day, that every day I practice. Just like when you want to learn a musical instrument, you have to practice every day. And you have to spend, okay, I'm going to learn to play the madanga, then I have to, at least as I'm learning, 1 hour a day practicing the same thing over and over again. And if I practice, then practice makes perfect, as we say. So similarly with the holy name, we practice in this way. And that bringing fixing our attention. So this is actually a very simple process. And it's really worthwhile. If we accomplish some cultivation of the holy name, then our life is worthwhile. And everything else we are doing, they won't last very long. But this will last forever. And even if we don't go all the way, our next birth will begin where we left off and will continue. So this really is the work, this is the worst, worthwhile thing to do. Krishnamurti is a professional man. He's educated, he's a professor in a college, he's doing so many things for the science of metallurgy and so on, with research grants and teaching. But that will all go in the course of time. But what he does now with the Hare Krishna mantra, that's eternal. This is really worthwhile. And so he'll be sitting doing this. This is his real spiritual career. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Please remember these instructions here. So, Sio, come over here so I can give you your beads. And So, can you tell me what are the four regular principles? Be careful of that.
No really six steps, no meat, no sitting, no gambling, and no intoxication.
Very good. And how many rounds a day will you chant on these beats?
16.
Give me your right hand here. So, your spiritual name is Sushila Gauranga Das. Sushila is already a pretty nice name. It means one who has good character. Welcome. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's some verses that tell the good qualities of Lord Chaitanya. And one of them is Sushila. So he's the servant of Lord Gauranga who has this quality of again. So now we can have a little kirtan as we'll start this fire. And then what will happen, when you're ready, for the fire sacrifice, I'll chant a whole series of auspicious mantras. We'll do it the same way we did the Pavitra prayer, responsibly. Except this time, when I come to the end of each mantra or group of mantra, I'll say the word Swaha, which means I offer. And at that time, you can take some of those grains that you have, as you show the love, you have some grains too, and just offer them to this fire. This fire is Agni Dev, is the mouth of Lord Vishnu. And so we're offering to Lord Vishnu, and I'll also add some ghee for his digestion. So we'll just chant a little bit. We have a little bit of a kirtan while we begin the fire.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
And then remember when I come to the the word swaha three times at the end of each mantra, Rupa mantra, and that's when you get this.
For putting out the fire.
We'll try this again. Okay. So you just say after me. Oh, Tatiana. Siddhanta, Siddhanta, Siddhanta,
Krishna, 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 Krish Sopote Sita Sita Kanda Sita Kanda Namostute Swaha 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 Jayatam Sarvasva Dambo Jao Radha Madana Mohana Swaha 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 Vidya Vindaranya Kumpa Kumadha Srima
after three times, swaha, and then I'll hold this ladle out here and put the banana in there. And I went at the last time. Namo Bhagavaya Devaya Gaura Bhagavaya Satsitaya Thank you.
Hare